Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church, and welcome to Worship Online with First United Methodist Church here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm Pastor Lindsay Hall. It is nice to be worshiping with you this morning virtually. We're worshiping from the comfort of our own homes or wherever you might be on this Sunday morning. As we prepare our hearts for worship, a couple of things I want to lift up. First, I would encourage you to find some elements of bread and grape juice or maybe crackers and water. We're going to be celebrating Holy Communion later in worship, and I would encourage you to go get those elements at this time. Other thing I would like to encourage you to do is to go to our church website at www.brightonfumc.org. There you're going to find our connection card. I would encourage you to fill that out. It lets us know that you were in worship. It also gives you an opportunity to get better connected to the life of the church. If you'd like to learn more about missions and service, kids ministry, student ministry, or our numerous small groups, you're welcome to fill out that connection card to get better connected. Well, I'm so glad you're worshiping with us, a congregation that seeks to know God and love God and serve God. And so let's turn our hearts to now of a time of worship, a time of praise, where we can lift up our praises to God and release our burdens as we come now to worship. Let's praise the Lord.
Good morning. Here's our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing all that we need, especially when we often don't know what we need. Thank you for your guiding hand, lifting us up in times of trouble. Remind us to look to you when we are worried or afraid. Help us to stay focused on the strength you give rather than the worries of the moment. Lift us up out of our troubles and hold us in your hand. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi everyone, my name is Bailey. I'm the Director of Student and Children's Ministries for First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake campuses. And this is our Young Christians moment. So it's for everyone, of course. Everyone is young at heart, but this is especially for our kiddos. So if you have kiddos, you can feel free to grab them, or you could always rewind the service and show them this part. We started our new sermon series today. It's called 3 a.m. So what keeps you up at night? Do you have a hard time falling asleep sometimes? I know sometimes I have a hard time falling asleep. And you know, a lot of times why I have a hard time falling asleep is because I'm worried about stuff. I'll sit there and I'll think about all the things that I have to do the next day. I might be thinking about a test that I have to take. I might be thinking about all the chores that I need to get done tomorrow, all the things that I need to clean. I might be thinking about something that somebody said to me earlier that day or something that I said to somebody else. Think a lot about this stuff, and especially what I'm going to do the next day. That's what keeps me from falling asleep. I don't know about all of you, but when I feel worried, my stomach kind of hurts and I get really tense and I feel very stressed out, right? And my shoulders come up like this. So when we're worried, it can feel very icky inside, right? It doesn't feel good to be worried. But the beautiful thing is that God and Jesus, they don't want that for us. They don't want us to feel worried. They don't want us to not be able to sleep. They want peace in our lives. God and Jesus want peace in your lives. And one way that they give us peace is through praying. So for me, when I'm having a hard time falling asleep, and maybe this is something you could do the next time you're having a hard time falling asleep, I will pray about it. I'll be laying there in bed and I'm just like, Lord, and I'll tell God about what I'm worried about. So I might say, God, I'm just really worried about this test that I have tomorrow. Please help me to find peace. Please remind me to be thankful for the things that I do have. And I think that that also really helps. So when we take the time to pause and just tell God what we're worried about, it's amazing how all of a sudden I feel lighter. I'm able to go to sleep. All of a sudden I don't feel so worried about it because I realize that I'm not alone. I'm not facing all those things alone. I'm facing them with God at my side. So I would encourage you the next time that you're having a hard time falling asleep, maybe because you're worried and your stomach's upset and your muscles are all tight, just remember God is with you and God wants to help you through whatever it is that you're going through. Let's pray together. God, thank you for always being with us. Thank you for being there by our side every minute of every day. God, I pray that if worries do come up, that we would remember that we can turn them over to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Today's scripture is from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and more than the body, more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will I eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to grace. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I spent a fair amount of time this week watching the coverage and the news of the things that took place in our nation's capital this last week. I'm guessing if your heart's like my heart, you probably had a couple of moments where you were in disbelief, where you were in shock, when you were maybe worried about the present or the future. Where is this headed? Where is our nation going? If you're one of the folks in our congregation, and there are many of you who have had the opportunity, the privilege, the honor of putting on a uniform for one of the branches of the U.S. Armed Services, I imagine that many of you experienced horror as you watched a sight that you probably never thought you would see: the Capitol of the United States being breached. Something that you gave entire years of your life for, you put your life on the line to make sure that something like that would never happen. I imagine if you are one of the folks in our congregation who have grandkids, for maybe just a fleeting moment, you took a moment to think about what kind of future your grandkids would live into. Is this the new normal? Is this how we experience defeat in this country? I'm sure you looked and watched, as I did, some of the senators and members of the House of Representatives as they gave their speeches and testified on the Senate floor and shared their experiences and wondered if this is going to be the way that we move forward as a nation, if we're going to see something like this again, or if this is the end. I'm guessing if you are like me, a parent, you took some time this week to look into your kids' eyes and tried to imagine what their life was going to look like, what their life would unfold to be as a citizen of this country. Perhaps some of you are wondering where the church stands in the midst of this moment. Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm proud to be part of the United Methodist Church. We have a great history and heritage of calling out injustice in whatever form it presents itself. That's the vow that we ask people to take as they join the United Methodist Church. Will you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do everything in your power to cast out evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Here in the Methodist Church, we categorically and unequivocally denounce the events that took place in our nation's capital. We do not believe that that is the path forward, and do not in any way, shape, or form condone the messages that were chanted as folks walked in to the Capitol. I think what's more important that I say in this moment is, as your pastor, it has never mattered to me one bit who you vote for or what your politics are. It's never mattered to me whether you're a Republican or Democrat or if you're independent. It's never mattered to me whether you're a socialist or if you're a libertarian. It's never been important to me whether you're a member of the Green Party or the Tea Party. It's never mattered to me as much as it matters to me that you find your identity and salvation in Jesus Christ, and that you find your identity in being a child of God. That being said, I hope that we're of the same mind when we saw the images of what transpired in the Capitol last week, that we can all say that it's unacceptable, that that's not how we want to live. And as a person of faith, as somebody who has been called into ministry, I have to say that at the end of the day, I don't trust these institutions to bring about the salvation and redemption of the world. Yes, I believe that we are called to be a part of the world, that we're called to vote, that we're called to engage in the realities of the politics of our day, that we're called to respond to social issues. But at the end of the day, they have never been my source, nor should they be your source of hope or salvation. At the end of the day, we place our trust in a higher power, this belief that God resides in all of us as children of God, that redemption is possible, that salvation in its truest sense, which takes place not only when we die, but also in the midst of everyday moments in our life, is what we all strive for, that we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, that we're called to act justly, that we're called to love kindness and walk humbly with our God. These are the basic and essential teachings of our faith. That's what unite us. Those beliefs are what unite us as United Methodists. We've never been an echo chamber of politics. I have never in all of my life served a church where everybody is of the same mind, where we all find ourselves in complete agreement on significant issues of our day. But at the end of the day, that has never mattered to me as a pastor. In fact, I enjoy the conversations. And I appreciate that one week after delivering a sermon about one topic, a certain group of people might be upset with me. And the next week I might deliver another message and a different group of folks might be upset. At the end of the day, we have always answered to a higher calling. We pray about the teachings that we give as pastors. And certainly we invite you to be in prayer about your beliefs about the world around us. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, addressed a large gathering of people who had come to listen to the only full sermon of Jesus's that we have available to us. And he talked to them from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he looked up into this large crowd who had assembled on the mountainside there, and he said, "Do not worry. Do not worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what clothes you're going to wear. None of those things are as important as this." Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And if you do that, all of these blessings will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow. For each day has its own sets of things to be worried about." which I think was Jesus's way of saying, pay attention to what's going on right now, act on it. Don't allow your worries to heap up where you're not necessarily doing anything about it. You're just getting yourself anxious and worried and worked up. Instead, do something. Work to be a part of the ongoing building of the kingdom of God here in this world today. Call out evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Love your neighbor. One of John Wesley's best sermons, in my opinion, is one that he preached that was entitled On the Catholic Spirit. And what he said in that particular message was that at the end of the day, we might hold different beliefs about things that are really significant and important. And it's not my job to change your mind about what is important to you. And it's not your job to change mine. But instead, if we are of the same heart, if we love God and love our neighbor with reckless abandon, then he said, take my hand. We can be in this faith together. We can work together to share God's love with a world that so desperately needs it. We can invite people into a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ, one that I believe with all of my heart will lead people to a path of righteousness, hope, faith, security, tranquility. That's the kingdom that I want to be a resident of. That's the kingdom that I aspire in some way, shape, or form to bring to this broken world. We've all seen the results of divisive rhetoric. It's brought us to one of the most humble moments, in my opinion, in recent memory, and maybe in long-term memory, that this nation has ever faced. But that's not the end of the story. At the end of the day, if we trust that God is in control and God is capable of redeeming every single person who is involved, both the police officers who are trying to keep the Capitol safe and those individuals who are trying to bring out about mayhem and despair, then every single person involved in that day on Wednesday is worthy of redemption, forgiveness, and grace. And that's the other reason why I'm a United Methodist, because God is not done with us yet. If there's any part of you that felt like it was justified to see folks run into the Capitol building, I want to invite a conversation. I want to invite us into a dialogue about where we see God's call on our life. It doesn't necessarily need to be all about politics. I want to root our dialogue, our conversation in our faith, in us asking the hard questions about who Jesus called us to be in the world today, about how we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, about how we're called to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. At the end of the day, what I want to invite you to consider is to take the hand, obviously not physically in this time of pandemic, but to reach out in concern and compassion towards somebody who you know you don't share the same ideologies, you don't share the same vision about how the world should be. I want to encourage you to take a moment to build a bridge, to extend grace, to build relationships, to share stories, so that someday, which is where I believe all of creation is headed, we can all be together at the great heavenly banquet, acknowledging humbly that there's not a single person among us who is perfect. We all make mistakes. But the beautiful thing about our faith is that God meets us at the end of the driveway time and time again, welcoming us home, inviting us into a life of righteousness. I need that forgiveness. I need that grace. I need that hope that comes from knowing that I too am forgiven when I do something that's wrong. And I'm here to tell you, and I believe this with all of my heart, in a moment, you know, we'll share the communion liturgy, and folks will be invited to take communion in their own homes, or if you're interested in doing a drive-through communion experience with us together at 12 o'clock, we'll be doing it from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock at both of our campuses. I'm here to tell you that if you were at the rally in Washington, D.C. that turned into a riot and an insurrection, that if you pulled up and you went through our drive-through communion line, I would serve you. I would take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and say, this is the body of Christ and God's love poured out for you, because here's the truth. I need that forgiveness every bit as much as you do. But if that's not your heart, if you, like me, watched in horror the events and the coverage of what transpired this last week in Washington, I'm here to invite you to continue to place your hope in the higher power and the God that will redeem and restore all things, to roll up your sleeves and do the hard work of grace and reconciliation, of listening and reaching out in concern for folks that you know are struggling, to feel heard and appreciated and affirmed. It's my hope that we can do this together, and that we can together share our faith with a world that so desperately needs to hear good news. When Jesus said, "Do not worry, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these blessings will be added unto you," that is the key to not waking up at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night with worry and fear and consternation about where this whole thing is going. If you're having a hard time sleeping at this point, you're not alone. There have been nights this week that I have had a hard time sleeping as well. But my encouragement to you is this: if at all possible, remember that God is on our side. Just a couple of days ago, we celebrated Christmas Eve, reminding ourselves that Jesus is born incarnate into this moment. And in Jesus's day, there were plenty of things to be worried and anxious about. That's why Jesus said to everybody gathered on the mountainside at the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not be worried. Do not be afraid. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what clothes you're going to wear." In Jesus' day, there were plenty of things to be worried about: Roman occupation, Herod, Pontius Pilate, you name it. There were bad people doing terrible things in Jesus' day. And his pastoral message to them was, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness." And also we look to the words of John Wesley. And I invite you in this moment that if your heart is like my heart, and if you're interested in doing the work of loving God with reckless abandon and not loving your neighbor as yourself, I invite you to take my hand. Let's do this work together. Amen.
Greetings. Hope everyone had a joyous Christmas and a happy start to the new year. I'm sitting here with my Christmas tie on still and got Jesus here with me. And of course, Mary and Joseph are sitting here with me too. And hey, wait a second. There's a knock at the door. What's going on here? Oh, look. There are some guests. It's a wise man, it looks like, or a magi. I don't know. Here's another one. Oh, hi there. It looks like there are three of those guys, three magi. It looks like they're here to join us in prayer. So won't you please join me in an attitude of prayer now. Merciful and gracious God, you blessed us with life to love us beyond our imagination. You existed since the beginning, and the Word was with you, and the Word was you. You gave us a gift beyond what we deserved when the Word became flesh to live among us. Remind us that you so loved the world that you gave us your only Son that we might not perish. Help us to love others like you love us, like Jesus loves us, like Jesus taught and commanded us. Open our hearts to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, so everyone experiences his love. We are grateful for your amazing expression of love and wonder if you feel so loved by us. You gave us your Word, but do we merely listen to it, not follow it, and so deceive ourselves? Guide us in striving to be wise, building our house on a rock, putting Jesus' words into action. Focus our attention where we build our own house and not where others build their house. Each day is full of irresponsible decisions that hurt others and disappoint you, our Heavenly Father. Help us hide your Word in our hearts that we might show our love and not sin against you. Open our eyes to see the wonderful things in your law as written for us to know your glory. It is your law that shows us how to treat our brothers and sisters as you would have us do so. Encourage us to carry the wondrous hope, love, joy, and peace of Christmas with us all year long, so we can fill the cracks in a secular, relativistic, materialistic, individualistic world that needs Jesus. We know the wages of sin is death, so we thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving us with a gift beyond our comprehension through your amazing grace. We can be worn down by regrets of yesterday, challenges of today, and concerns of tomorrow. Instead of worrying about our own kingdoms, help us seek your kingdom and righteousness. Remind us that tomorrow has its own worries and that today's trouble is enough for today. We need not be anxious about anything if in everything we humbly share our requests with you. Matthew tells us the story of wise men and the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. They came from afar to see the baby born as our Savior on Christmas Day so many years ago. Give us the courage to continue sharing the news of the great, wonderful gift given to your people. Hear us now as we recite the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I shall give you rest." Isn't it so good to know that we can come to Jesus and lay down our heavy burdens, and in him we can find rest? So this morning we do that, laying down those burdens, those things that are stressing us out, those things that are heavy on our hearts, those things that consume our mind and fill us with worry or anxiety. We lay that at Jesus' feet to find rest. And this morning we come to the communion table to receive the bread of life, to receive the cup of grace, to be sustained, to be nourished, to be spiritually fed. I invite you this morning to come with an open heart as you receive the elements of bread and juice or crackers and water in your home. I invite you to come to the communion table with me this morning as we remember that on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread and he gave it to the disciples. And he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And in giving it to the disciples, he said to take and to eat, for this is his body given for them. And they were to eat and to do this in remembrance of him. And when the supper was over, then he took a cup. He gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it and he gave it to the disciples, saying, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me, the cup of grace. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and in thanksgiving. We offer ourselves as a holy, as a living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the great mystery of faith, knowing that Christ has died, but Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Let's pray. Oh, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of the bread and the wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. I invite you now to receive the elements. If you're with somebody in your home, I would invite you to serve each other, or I'd invite you to take the elements yourself if you're receiving by yourself this morning. But know that we are gathered in community, and we are all welcome at Christ's table. The bread of life given for you. The cup of grace poured out for you. Amen. Amen. When you woke up this morning, did you have food in your cupboards? Were you able to pour yourself a cup of coffee? Were you blessed with some family in your house or family across the country? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have employment and a paycheck? What blessings did you receive when you woke up this morning? Not everybody can recall and name all of those blessings that you just lifted up. Not everybody has all of those things that sometimes we often take for granted. So God calls us to be a part of blessing this world. God calls us to be a part of touching lives, making an impact. God calls us to give what we have so that others might be blessed as well. One way we could do this is by giving our financial gifts to God through the church. And so I'd encourage you now to go online and give through our church website, to be a part of the mission and the ministry of Christ here at First United Methodist in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Or I'd encourage you to write out the check and mail it in. However you give, know that it's a way to bless others. It's a way to change a life. It's a way to be able to extend God's love and care. Let's pray. Oh, holy and loving God, your love overflows in so many incredible ways. We give you thanks for the gifts that we've thought of this morning, those blessings that we don't always think of as blessings, but they are. Lord, help us to bless the world, to encourage those in need, to be your hands and feet and voice and presence, and love made visible in the world. Oh, loving God, bless the offering that's given this day. May it be blessed. May it be multiplied. Amen.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us online this week. We hope that this worship experience was inspirational for you as we gathered here. We want to let you know that at 12 o'clock at both of our campuses, from 12 to 1, We are going to be serving communion in drive-through fashion. If you'd like to come to the Brighton or Whitmore Lake campus, we would love to serve communion to you and offer any prayers. If you have any prayer requests or prayer concerns that we can pray for you about, feel free to share with us those prayer concerns at that time. We also wanted to let you know that we have a whole host of small groups that are starting through the course of this month. We would love to have you plug in for one of the wonderful small groups that are taking place at this church. Our COVID task force will be meeting tomorrow night, Monday night, and we'll reevaluate and continue to monitor all of the current realities around the coronavirus to determine what our next steps as a church might be. We hope to be able to share some news coming out of that meeting. As we continue to worship online in this way, we are always available for you. If you would like to reach out to us, or if you have any prayer concerns or issues on your heart, never hesitate to call the church office or get a hold of one of us here at the church so that we can be in ministry with and alongside you. I'd like to take a moment to turn our attention to a special announcement that's coming to us from the Staff Parish Relations Committee. Well, thanks, everyone. We appreciate you sticking around for this special announcement. We want to take a moment to share with you an announcement from the Staff Parish Relations Committee. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to our Director of Student and Children's Ministry, Bailey Brown.
Thank you, John, for the introduction. I appreciate it. I wanted to have the chance to speak with you all today so that I would be able to have the chance to explain this announcement. So I, after the break, was reflecting on my past semester of school, and I'm someone who definitely prides myself on my academic performance. I have been in seminary for about a year and a half now, and unfortunately, last semester, I fell pretty far behind on my class load, and I wasn't taking a full class load. And so this semester, as I was thinking about increasing my classes from last semester with an additional class and the realities of balancing that with life and work and all of the other things that you have to do in daily life, I came to the conclusion that I would not be able to continue in my position as the Director of Student and Children's Ministries, just in the capacity that I don't have the time with balancing school and the workload. So I am very saddened. It was not an easy decision by any means. This is the church that raised me and discipled me and is a large part of the reason that I chose to go to seminary and ended up at seminary to begin with. So I hope that you all know that I would very much affirm this church's influence and impact on people's lives, because it certainly impacted mine and has continued to do so for years as I've been part of this church family. So it was a very difficult decision, but I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to serve in this position and to have the chance to serve at a church that had so much impact on me and my spiritual journey over the years. That's not something that I think many people get to do, so it's something that I will treasure and hold very near and dear to my heart. And it's unfortunate that this is the reality, but I wanted to have the opportunity so that you could hear it from me, that it has no reflection on my esteem for this church and love for this church and the people and the kids and the students. It's solely because I need to be focusing on my schooling more and putting a priority on graduating and doing well in my academic life right now. So I wanted to have the opportunity to speak. So thank you, Lindsay and John, for giving me this chance. And thank you to the SPRC and everyone who has been so supportive over the past few months. It has been truly a joy to see all of the kids that we were still able to impact even in this crazy year. So I truly thank all of you who have been by my side through this journey. And I look forward to seeing what the church continues to do in the world.
Bailey, it has been such a joy to work with you, to have you a part of the staff team, to be a colleague in ministry. You have brought such great gifts to our church, and I see a deep call within you and is exciting that God has called you into ministry. And I wish you absolutely the best in your seminary coursework. Bringing you on staff was so exciting to welcome you on the team, and you've been able to touch lives. And as you've gotten to know the youth and the children and build relationships with them. So thank you so much for the ministry that you've done, whether it's been with our young disciples in our Sunday school, offering great online video options, creative for our kids to learn from home. I'm so appreciative of that, not only in working with the youth ministry, but also as a parent. You've been a blessing in our children's ministry. I thank you for your story time videos and the creativity there, providing stories for our young kids and toddlers and preschool age. Thank you for the young Christian moments that you've brought to worship, helping the gospel come alive for our younger ages. I think about October, you put together a fantastic, really fun trick-or-treat event for our community, both at our Whitmore Lake and our Brighton campus. And thank you for your organization and coordination of that. It truly was a community event and a church event that brought lots of sweet treats and fun and joy to people of our congregation. I'm also very thankful for the creativity in helping people grow in their faith while at home. And you did that great in a creative way through Advent in a Box, helping parents and kids learn about Advent and grow in their love of Jesus from home. And you put together a fantastic children's pageant nativity scene with great photos and making the nativity story come alive. And so I celebrate the ministry, and it's been wonderful to work with you since you joined our staff team in September. And also very appreciative as a parent with young children as well. So thank you. I look forward to the great ministry that God will continue to call you into. And I look forward to just celebrating with you as you continue your seminary education and studies.
Yeah, and I would just echo what Pastor Lindsay said, Bailey. We celebrate you and are excited for the next chapter of your call and your continued growth as a leader. And celebrate your education and your commitment to seminary and your education. And we certainly acknowledge that with this announcement, some children, family, youth, students, might have some questions for us as leaders of the church. And we just wanted to share with everyone that we're available if you have any questions or thoughts. And our staff parish relations committee will be meeting in the next couple of weeks to determine the next steps as a church, as we joyfully send our best wishes with you, Bailey. We also will meet to begin discerning our next steps as a community of faith to continue to care for the spiritual needs of our children, youth, and adults, and their parents. So if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to one of us on staff, or also to any member of our staff parish relations committee as we discern the next steps for our church. But thank you so much, Bailey, for sharing this announcement with us and for sharing your time and your gifts with us here at this church. And we ask God's blessing on you as you enter into the next chapter of your calling and pursuit of your vocation as a leader in the church. So God's blessings for you, and we hope nothing but the best for you and your future. Thank you for your ministry. Thanks, everyone. As we end this worship service this week together, I just want to end it with this blessing. As we depart from this place, I pray that you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.